the gaze of Suzanne, who knows how much I forget things at work. But Christmas is coming, and it is such a busy time. Grown-ups are spending ages getting ready for the big day, and there is so much to do. I printed off, let me get this right, the ultimate Christmas countdown checklist last week in an attempt to get organised for Christmas. It was an alarming document. As I discovered that there are 34 separate jobs I need to do and that I should have started 6 months ago. There is so much to do and therefore so much you could forget. Let me give you some examples. I wonder, can you imagine forgetting the turkey for Christmas dinner? You sit down on Christmas Day and you pile up your plates with potatoes and parsnips and carrots and that one sprout you have to be polite and the pigs in blankets only to discover there is no turkey. That would be a disaster. Or how about this? Have you ever opened up a present on Christmas morning only to discover that it requires batteries? It requires batteries, but batteries are not included. And to make things worse, there are no spare batteries in the house. And so you have to go and ask your mum or your dad if you can take them out of the TV remote. It's a disaster. All this, imagine this. Now, Sarah, you're going to have to close your eyes and put your fingers in your ears. Sarah loves tea. So I've got this for Sarah for Christmas. It's 1,000 tea bags, thank you. But imagine if I forgot to wrap it up. Imagine waking up on Christmas morning only to remember you have forgotten to wrap up any of the presents. It would be a disaster. Sarah, you can remove your fingers from your ears. Suzanne, give her a nudge. Wonderful. But there is so much to do, and therefore there is so much you could forget. But in today's true story from the Bible that we've just seen read and acted out so wonderfully, we see three things about the first Christmas we must not forget. Something so much worse to forget than turkey or batteries or wrapping up tea bags. The first is this: Jesus really was born. Let me reread Luke 2 to you. It says this: Mary was now pregnant. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have the baby. She gave birth to her first son. It is said so quickly and so matter-of-factly, you'd be forgiven for missing it. Mary had a baby. She gave birth to Jesus. There's no information about how much he weighed, no information about whether or not he had Mary's eyes or Mary's nose, nothing. One sentence: Mary had a baby. Now, on one level, we all know that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But for lots of people, that's nothing more than a picture on a Christmas card or a quaint little story we tell at this time of year. So although they might occasionally remember that Jesus was born, they don't care or think about it or really believe that it's true. But we must remember that the birth of Jesus is fact and not fiction. When Luke wrote his gospel, he did so out of a desire to be accurate and factual so that we would know the truth about Jesus. He starts his gospel by saying this: I studied everything. Everything carefully from the beginning, and I thought I should write it out for you. So I put it in order in a book. I write these things so that you can know that what you have been taught is true. You see, Luke hasn't written a nice little story for us at Christmas time. He's written a history book. So when he says Mary gave birth to a son, he really means that an actual event took place in history when a woman called Mary gave birth to a son called Jesus. Jesus really was born. The second thing we must not forget, at Christmas, is that Jesus really is a king. Look at where Jesus was born. I'm going to read it out to you again. Joseph left Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. This town was known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Jesus was born in the town of David. His stepdad, Joseph, was a descendant of David. And as Jesus grew up, time and time and time again, people called him the son of David. Now, this is amazing only if we remember who David is. David was one of the kings of Israel. And more than that, he was the greatest king that God's people ever had. So by saying that Jesus is the son of David and that he is born into the line of David in David's town, we are being told in no uncertain terms that Jesus is king. He is king. But more than that, David had been promised a king, a descendant, someone in his future family who would be king forever. And the Jewish people had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. They were waiting longer than you have for Christmas. They weren't just waiting 25 days, each day opening a little window on an advent calendar and having a chocolate. They were waiting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for the birth of this forever king. And Luke wants us to know that Jesus is that forever king. And then the third thing Luke wants us to know and not forget is that Jesus was humble. Most kings are born in lovely, posh, private hospitals or magnificent palaces, but not Jesus. When he was born, he was wrapped in cloth and put in a manger. Now, when we think of a manger, we kind of think of something a bit like this, like just quite a nice rustic crib. But actually, don't think that, because a manger was something animals fed out of. So instead of a nice rustic crib, think dog bowl. Think dog bowl. He was laid in a thing that animals ate out of. Now, there is something extraordinary about this, because there is such a contrast between the poor, lowly beginnings of Jesus' earthly life and the greatness of who he is. God's promised king enters the world and he is put to rest in a dog bowl. He's laid down to go to sleep in a dog bowl. That acts as a massive signpost pointing us forward to the kind of king Jesus is going to be. He didn't lord it over people. He cared for people. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't put himself first. He put all of us first as he went to the cross to die in our place, to take the punishment we deserve for our sins. Sins are all those times when we go, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. So Jesus really was born. He really is the saving forever king. So whatever else you forget at Christmas, do not forget Jesus. You can forget turkey, and you can forget batteries, and you can forget to wrap presents, and they are only small inconveniences. But it is a disaster if you forget Jesus at Christmas time. Grown ups, I wonder if in the middle of a busy festive period, you've lost sight of that baby boy born in a manger who would grow up to be our saving sacrifice. We'll take this morning as an opportunity to realign yourselves. Christmas is all about him. He is at the center of our nativity. Nothing else matters quite as much as remembering Jesus this Christmas time. Let me pray for us, lead us in a prayer. So if you sit up straight, hands together so you don't fidget. And grown-ups, I know grown-ups fidget as well, so hands together. eyes closed so you don't get distracted, and let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus into the world. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to be the Saviour of the world. This Christmas, help us to remember Jesus above everything else. Amen.